In the current episode of this Tearing Down the Walls, we're going to talk about what the teacher can do when the student starts talking Portuguese in class. First of all, I thought it was kind of interesting that it's something that's going to happen in class. It was even compared to rain. It's something that's going to happen. And there's not much you can do about it. Of course there is, actually. Which was interesting as well. There is stuff we can do about it, but it's something that it's eventually going to happen. And we can't, like, ban it entirely. It's going to keep on happening. Your students are going to keep on speaking Portuguese. And when does it happen? Those are some interesting things also to take into consideration. Unplanned talks. So the students just started saying something that wasn't in his production, and he had to say something in English, but he doesn't know what it is. So he may say some Portuguese there. And how do we react when he uses it, right? One of the things that was being said at the podcast that I thought was pretty interesting is that the teacher just looks and says, hey, speak in English, or don't speak Portuguese. And that's something that may actually jeopardize the flow of the students when producing, when actually you should focus more on trying to include him in class. Maybe you could look at him and say, hey, but how do I say that? Trying to elicit from him to use the sentences we usually teach them. How do I say? What is the meaning of? And things like this. This may work more with basic students. I also like the idea of giving examples to students on what they can do. Those types of techniques were things totally interesting for me, because I usually tend to or just tell my students to speak in English or to ask him, how do I say? Or maybe show him that I didn't understand what he said. I do those usually those three things. But giving examples is another thing that was not in my arsenal, and it would be quite interesting to do. Like, hey, I want to go to the park, so can I go to Ibirapuera? Maybe go to Villa Lobos? And then he doesn't know how to say just a park, for example, or an amusement park, like it was being used in the podcast as well. This was an interesting example that I might actually use. That was quite interesting. Another thing that we should take into consideration. Why is the student speaking Portuguese? Why is that happening? Some students I've seen here in my school, they usually don't speak English because they are afraid of doing it. They're usually thinking, oh, but, you know, if I try and I'm going to make a mistake. But when they do try, the sentences are very good, or at least very close to perfection. Yeah, so they're most of the times they're afraid of using the English they know, and they just skip to Portuguese. I've got some teens that are like this. They give up on the English and they skip to Portuguese. And then I usually kind of get a little mad, because I know they know and they're just using Portuguese because they are lazy and they don't want to. So those are the moments that I usually get a little angry with them. And then I kind of become the teacher of, no Portuguese, okay? But it shouldn't be this way. And I thought it was interesting, especially when they told us it should be something that includes the student by giving examples, understanding why the student is not speaking in English in that moment, if that could become a crutch for the student as well, if he's always, like, not using how do I say, but already coming to the Portuguese. Yeah, but we should always have a new strategy to deal with this. That was quite interesting too. Like they could, we could give an example. We could work with how do I say and so forth. There are many things we can use, and mostly we just focus on one or two. So it's something that is eventually going to happen. And there are also, of course, some benefits from this, because it's something normal. Our brain is usually translating stuff. And when we become fluent, or at least intermediate, we don't realize it anymore. But it's coming from the source, and the source of your brain is probably your L1 and coming to your L2. And we stop realizing it when we get to a certain level. And we start telling our students that they should think in English, like it's something that can be done. I want to admit that I've thought that this myth was kind of true at some moment. Like, oh, you just gotta start thinking in English. And then the student will kind of get a little pressured, like, how can I start thinking in English out of the blue? But it's actually something that comes with translation. Your brain starts translating faster. That's just what happens. There's no thinking in English. There is like a kind of a fast translation from what I got there. So confronting the student, not a good idea. Translanguaging can be interesting. I know we're not using it yet, but it should be used always by working together with the mental process of students. If there is any Portuguese, if there is any words that come from L1, they should be helping the mental process. Like, oh, I didn't remember exactly what was going on. I don't remember exactly this idea, but I can complete my sentence if I get a word, and if you help me with a word, I can complete what I'm saying. Instead of just going to the student, hey, don't speak Portuguese. Maybe that's even gonna break his flow of thought. And that's not something we want. So those were the ideas I got for this podcast. And see you guys on the next one.